The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's podcast, sponsored by Hillsdale College. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. I encourage you to take advantage of the many free online courses there. And, of course, to listen to the Hillsdale Dialogues, all of them at hughforhillsdale.com, or just Google Apple, iTunes, and Hillsdale. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live from Studio North. Also up in the north, I think, State Senator Matt Dolan in the great state of Ohio, my home state. I believe that he's probably in Cleveland today, might be down in Columbus. Good morning, Senator Dolan. Where do we find you today?
Good morning, Hugh. I am up north in Scranton. I just got back late last night from 6 days of budget negotiations.
All right, now I got to get to the backpack funding, but first I want to find out. The Guards are out 4.5. I'm feeling pretty good given that we're 8 games under 500. But what do you think? Josh Bell ever going to wake up and start hitting?
One thing you have to know with Francona teams is they historically start slow and build as the year goes on. So, yes, I'm confident that all the guys will start hitting.
I feel pretty good. The Yankees are 8 games over 500 and 7 games back in the East, and we're only 4.5 games back in the Central. So go, go, Guards. All right, Senator Dolan, I had on Bernie Moreno this week. That's why I've got you on. You're both running against each other for the nomination to take on Sherrod Brown. Key question, why are you better than Bernie for that nod?
Yeah, it's not that I'm running against Bernie. It's I'm presenting myself to the Republicans that I am the person that can go to Washington and fix the problems and the challenges that are facing our nation, because I'm the only one that has public and private sector experience. I'm also the only one that can take down Sherrod Brown. You know, 3 others have tried, but the reality of Sherrod Brown is you have to go directly after his record, the direction he wants to take this country. Don't be fooled by what we've been fooled by in the last 3 elections, that every time we get close to an election, Sherrod Brown presents himself as he's some sort of moderate, and he's the bipartisan guy. I mean, 2 years ago, he is writing to make sure that Title 42 remains the law of the land, and just a few weeks ago, he's saying, oh, no, we got to get rid of it. I mean, these are things that he does, and if, as a Republican, we don't go directly after that and tell the Ohioans that the direction of the country has failed under him. Inflation's high. We're no longer energy independent. He votes with Biden all the time. We have an open border. So that's what I'm doing.
Senator, Sherrod Brown drives me crazy because he thinks like Dennis Kucinich. He governs and votes in the Senate like Howard Metzenbaum. And then he runs as though he's John Glenn. It's a complete charade. Are you in a good position to expose that?
I am, because not only can I point out his charade, but I can also point to a success that I have had putting conservative agenda into law, into Ohio, and it's helped. It's helped all Ohio. It's helped working Ohio. It's helped small businesses. You know, that is what, you know, we want a limited government that's efficient and effective, that returns money back to the taxpayer, that creates an environment for a quality of life, that has schools that are teaching their kids the basics, science, math, history. It's not trying to indoctrinate kids. That's what I have helped do in the state of Ohio. These challenges that we're facing in Washington need someone with serious vision, serious execution. We can't play these games anymore. The problems we're facing are clear, and they've been there, and Sherrod Brown's been there for 40 years, and yet we keep talking about the same thing. So yeah, I'm the one that can point that out.
Senator Dolan, I think it's going to be a very interesting primary because you both can beat Sherrod Brown. I don't know, maybe having a legislative race would make it easier. I don't know. You're both business guys. You're both experienced. I know you'll sit down and talk to each other throughout this. Tell me a little about the advantage you have is you're governing. And so the question comes up, you just into in 6 days of negotiation. Did we get backpack funding for school reform in Ohio? Where are we?
Well, you'll see the results out in a couple of weeks, but obviously allowing parents the ability to choose where their kids get educated and how they get educated, I think you'll see a budget that is consistent with what I've done in the past, and that is expand on parents' ability to choose where they go to school, to where their kids go to school. So, again, you know, it's not just the advantage that I am a legislator. The advantage is I'm an effective legislator, that I get things done that help Ohioans, that all the conservative ideas and principles that everyone talks about, well, when people see my record is what I've actually accomplished and how I've done it, I think folks are going to say, yes, that's what we need to beat Sherrod Brown and get things done in Washington.
Stay focused on a school for a second here, Senator. Last time I had on Governor DeWine, he kind of hedged on this, and the phones blew up, and Aaron Baer called me up and said, what happened? And I said, don't worry, Aaron, I think the governor is going to deliver universal backpack funding. I mean, do any Republicans oppose that, or is that just Democratic obstructionism?
Look, the concept of allowing parents to choose where their kids go to school is something that we are taking very seriously and trying to provide. So we are in the process of putting the budget together. Like I said, I just, you know, basically spent 6 days in one room putting it together, and we'll get 2 days off to go back on the campaign trail, and then Monday on Memorial Day I'll be back at it. So those are things that are very important to us, and I think as this budget comes out, you'll see that we are very. You'll be happy. You look.
Yeah, it's the most important thing. Let me go though to the Intel plant. This is a big deal for Ohio, and I know you had a hand in it. Is it going to happen? Because the CHIPS Act was contingent upon. I mean, they offered the Intel plant. Ohio came up with a bunch of guarantees. Is it going to get built?
Phase one and two are definitely going to be built. Look, you know, don't fall into Sherrod Brown's attack plan. The CHIPS Act. Could be helpful in the future, but this was Intel came to Ohio not because of what happened in Washington. Intel came to Ohio because what I and others have helped accomplish here in Ohio. They came because we have low taxes, we have less regulations, we have a workforce that's growing, we have plentiful of water, and that's why they came to Ohio. Now the CHIPS Act may help them build phases 4, 5, 6, and 7. But phases 1 and 2 are under construction right now, and phases 3 and 4 will begin in 2025, I believe.
Yeah, I think Intel doing a good job of selling the rug twice, right? They're taking a victory lap whenever they can. But I know it got there under you and DeWine, and I appreciate that. You mentioned the lake. Let's talk about that. Yesterday, the Supreme Court finally got a ruling right on the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA not being able to regulate people who don't have any water on their land, but we do want to protect Lake Erie, right? That's the key deal. How is that? Is that progressing well?
It is, but you have addressed the conundrum. We absolutely need to protect Lake Erie, promote, protect, and preserve Lake Erie, because it is an economic engine for Ohio and all the Great Lakes. Yet we cannot have the government over-regulating our inland waters, because those are equally as important for farmers, for make sure we can still develop our land, whether you want it to be business, whether you want it to be residential, whether you want to expand your farming operation. So we need to protect the Great Lakes, but we got to give more freedom to your own water on your own property and how you want to develop that. Keep it clean, but you should have control over it.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah, Senator, Ro Khan is a friend of mine, and he's the left-wing congressman from California, and he was chirping at the Supreme Court this morning for, you know, endangering the water quality. I pointed out to him, it's 9-0. The Supreme Court said 9-0. Leave these poor people alone. And I don't know how many people come to your office that are being screwed by federal regulatory agencies. The Ohio agencies work pretty well. What are the feds like when they come to regulate people's property in Ohio?
For a long time, the Army Corps of Engineers has been a real problem, the federal. But look, this is how I approach it, is that you have to recognize that all of us want clean water yep. and clean air. But you can accomplish that without government regulation or government over-regulation. So the government, the federal government, particularly under Biden, comes in with the assumption that Ohioans or Americans want to poison their water, want to dirty up their air. That's not how we approached it. You know, we want clean water, clean air. Allow us to do that. Allow us to develop how we would normally develop, and you'll see that we want clean air. I desperately want a clean Lake Erie because I know what that means for our economy. I know, look what's happening in Colorado right now. You know, they're all fighting over a portion of the Colorado River.
I know. It's so amazing.
Yeah. And if you're a business, we want you to look at Ohio and say, come to Ohio because they let you operate how you want to operate, yet they still can provide clean and plentiful water.
Brains and water. Senator Dolan, what's the website? I know your Twitter handle is Matt, the number 4, Ohio. What's your website?
It's Dolan for Ohio, but it's F-O-R, Dolan for Ohio. I'd ask people to go to the website, join up, and we can beat Chair Brown and, most importantly, get things done in Washington.
Keep coming back. When you need a debate moderator out there for the primary, let me know. Matt Dolan, go Guards. Enjoy the weekend. Maybe we'll get a sweep out of Terry. He's right. Terry Francona teams wake up about Memorial Day weekend, and that's great. Thank you, Senator. I'll be right back, America. Welcome back, America. One of my favorite people from the Trump era, Morgan Ortegas. You can see her on Fox News almost any night. She is the founder of Polaris. Hello, Morgan. Good Friday morning to you. Great to have you back.
Good morning, and happy Shavuot to everybody who's listening.
Morgan, you've been gone for a couple of months because you've been on reserve duty. Would you remind people, what does reserve, because it's Memorial Day, and a lot of reservists lost their lives protecting the United States. What does reserve duty mean for Morgan Ortegas and other people who are in the United States Naval Reserves?
That's such a sweet question. Thank you for asking, because I think sometimes people think, oh, just Morgan or whomever, they're just in the reserves. And it's actually a lot of time. By the way, I highly recommend everyone do it. I didn't commission until I was 32. So I did a little later in life. I was an older ensign into the Navy. I know you have a family with the Navy background.
Lots
as
of
well.
Navy. Yep.
Your son, right? Lots of Navy. Yep. Son-in-law.
Son-in-law and nephew on active duty in the great, great United States Navy.
I love it. So technically, it's supposed to be 1 week in a month, two weeks a year. If you are doing it right, you probably end up doing a lot more than that. I was, of course, working for Mike Pompeo and President Trump, as you said, in the last 2 years of the administration. So I decided to do some active duty time earlier this year. I did 4 months with Navy Special Warfare, and it was great. I love those guys. I love serving. There is nothing like putting on the uniform. So if you're thinking about joining the reserves, I didn't do it until I was 32, so it's never too late.
Well, I think they might turn me away, but very good for you, Morgan. That was our recruiting call for the everyone I know in the reserves is glad they do it. Morgan, I want to read you from the headline this morning in The Washington Post. Spring has finally sprung in southern Ukraine, and with temperatures hitting a high of 78 degrees Fahrenheit last weekend, expectations of a long-awaited counteroffensive against occupying Russian forces are in full bloom. Do you have such an expectation? What do you think is the situation on the ground?
Well, listen, I mean, if you look at a big picture, you know, obviously the Ukrainians have fought and have been so much more successful than any of us ever would have imagined in January or February of last year. I was actually just talking about this at a conference yesterday, the day before, with John Sullivan, who was President Trump and then President Biden's ambassador to Russia. Brilliant guy. And one of the things, I think there's quantitative ways in which we can assess the Russian military, which has definitely failed expectations, and the Ukrainian military. But I think the qualitative way that I would look at it, and I was in Kyiv in February 2020 with Pompeo, and then I went back to Lviv May of last year, so almost a year ago. And the qualitative edge that the Ukrainians have is, and I saw this, I witnessed this firsthand when I was there both trips, is they are just willing to die to the last man, woman, and child if they have to in support of their freedom and their independence. And that's something that I think when I talk to, you know, our friends, Mike Gallagher, Bridge Colby, and others who are really looking at Taiwan, and we're looking at, you know, how do we assess a potential conflict there? The one thing that you can't take away from the Ukrainian people, no matter what the situation is the will to fight and die for their country, which, quite honestly, Hugh, I hope we still have that in our country. Sometimes I wonder. But, you know, getting back to the Ukrainians, I was encouraged to see the Biden administration after saying very vividly in February when we were all in Munich at the Munich Security Conference that they would not support the Ukrainians getting the F-16s. I was happy to see that they're ready to start the training. But it keeps starting this pattern of they're going to get some type of weapon, the Patriots, tanks, whatever it may be. Okay, now we're not going to give it to them. Then 3 months later, 6 months later, we're going to give it to them. And it's these, I was reading the New York Times yesterday when I was talking about the reasons that the Biden administration slow walks different types of munitions or aid. And it's often, you see this line. If you look for this line, you and your listeners will see it every time they read an article about Russia, Ukraine going forward in a major newspaper. The line is always from the administration, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, well, we are worried about provoking Putin and what will Putin do if we give X. And we have been down this path for a year and a half, and I think it's just time to call the bully's bluff, right? The Chinese have already sort of reprimanded Putin and said nuclear weapons are not on the table. That's not something they want to see, probably because the Chinese want actually a hand in the reconstruction, but that's a whole other story. They were Ukraine's number one trading partner before all of this. And so the Chinese have said the nuclear weapons off the table. So it's time to start calling the bully's bluff and stop letting Putin scare us into making decisions that we think are the best for Ukraine.
Well said, Morgan. And now I want to turn to a political issue which shouldn't be political. President Biden is going to nominate General C.Q. Brown. I think that's how we call him, Air Force General Brown, to be the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Some crazy liberal wrote that conservatives would be upset because he is a champion of diversity in the military. I'm a champion of diversity in the military. You're a champion of diversity in the military. I don't like woke training, but I think C.Q. Brown is a great choice. And I thought the idea, it's a straw man. I don't know anyone who's opposed to C.Q. Brown. Do you?
I have not. No, I haven't heard that. I mean, in fact, I hear that he has a stellar record and a lot of people are really looking forward to his testimony. You know, this is just sort of made up, right? I mean, no matter what, they were going to say, oh, conservatives are going to be against this. It's sort of like this fake controversy over the Little Mermaid cartoon that supposedly conservatives were against the casting of the Little Mermaid. That was, by the way, when I was a child a long time ago, my favorite cartoon ever. So I was very excited for this movie. My daughter's only 2.5, so I'm not sure if I'm going to take her. She might.
It's 2 hours long, Morgan. Don't take the baby.
But the point is like there was conservatives were upset about casting. I'm like, who? Which conservative? Who? I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I've got a lot of conservative mom friends. No one was talking about the Little Mermaid. And so it's, you know, they need to sort of repeat this in the news cycle in order for it to be true. Even if there is no controversy, they're creating a fake controversy before it even happens.
Now, Morgan, I don't think you've declared. I think you're like me. You're in Switzerland for the GOP nomination, and you might have been a Pompeo person. But when he decided not to run, he and Susan, I'm sure you're a free agent. But I'll bet you don't declare. Have you declared for anyone?
So I'm the founder of Polaris National Security. We're a C4, and we're working to help all federal candidates on the Republican side. So, yeah, we're Switzerland.
So the first round of exchanges between former President Trump and current Governor DeSantis and everybody else, they're all talking about domestic issues, which, of course, makes sense. What national security issue do you want to see them discuss in August and every debate thereafter?
I love that question. Thank you so much, because I will say I obviously worked for President Trump, know him. And no matter what people want to say about him, I can defend our foreign policy record under him and Mike Pompeo every day in the week. You know, and I often ask myself, looking at the GOP field, could anybody get the Abraham Accords? You know, four deals between Israel and Arab states, the first in 26 years. And he didn't bat an eye to make historic decisions, right? And that's one of the things that I appreciated as somebody who had been in foreign policy for several administrations, is you had a team that would come in and would look and say, wait a minute, U.S. law says that the U.S. embassy is supposed to be in Jerusalem. And then we have Congress, I think, every 6 months pass a waiver to keep it in Tel Aviv. How does that make any sense? And so President Trump said, we're going to move it to Jerusalem because that's what the law says. And it's not going to start World War III. So it's those type of courageous decisions. What I am really looking for is who's going to do what on China, on the Chinese Communist Party. The Pentagon says, and now this is just a public rough estimate, we don't really know for sure, but that there could be some sort of that China could take some sort of military action over Taiwan in 2027. So that happens in the next administration, whomever is president. And what I want to know is not just bluster, right? Who is able to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party, not just with bluster, but who's able to look at facts? Things like a lot of military analysts predict if there was a great power war between the U.S. and China, direct military confrontation, we would run out of long-range missiles, the both of us, within a week. So I'm looking for dorky things, Hugh, like who wants to revitalize the U.S. industrial base so that we can actually start stockpiling our munitions and our long-range missiles and, you know, actually build a new boat, ship, or a submarine?
You know, I talked with MP Woodward yesterday. He's written a thriller about Iran. He happened to be, like you, a Navy intelligence guy. And he says the Chinese naval buildup, Americans don't really have their arms around how massive it is. We were ahead 5 years ago just in ship count. They've doubled us. They've lapped us in the last 5 years. Do you think that's a legitimate topic to talk about?
It is, and we're just asleep at the wheel. I mean, the thing that I worry, Hugh, is that we react really well as Americans when we're punched in the face. And this is the type of potential conflict where it's going to be too late if we wake up once we're punched in the face, right? We almost need sort of an Operation Warp Speed type footing for the U.S. Navy and for the industrial base. You know, I was on this panel in Vegas that I was talking about with Ambassador John Sullivan. Gary Kahn from Goldman Sachs and the Trump administration was also on the panel. And Gary was talking about how, our dependency on penicillin and so many things on our supply chain, especially our pharmaceuticals, we're still dependent on China for them. And it's going to take years to come off of that. And he was saying this in the context of why he didn't think we should decouple or have a trade war. And I said, listen, I totally agree with Gary. These are the facts, right, of our dependency on penicillin and other pharmaceuticals from China. But what about if the Chinese Communist Party takes action over Taiwan from a military perspective and we lose freedom of navigation and freedom of the seas that the entire world has enjoyed since World War II, brought to you by the U.S. Navy? If we lose that, then our dependency on the supply chains, on penicillin, on other pharmaceuticals from China is a moot point. So we have to be able to remember that the way that all of us listening right now, our life as we know it exists, brought to you by the U.S. Navy, because they conduct freedom of navigation operations around the world, and they make sure that the world's waterways are free, international waterways are free and fair, and that all the goods that we enjoy can actually get shipped to you. And if the Chinese Communist Party takes over Taiwan, our way of life as we know it, as it relates to the stuff that we import from around the world, is toast.
That is well said. I'm not going to add to it. Morgan Ortegas at Twitter. That's it. Morgan Ortegas and Polaris Morgan, if you want to find her 501c4. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Are you a commander now, Morgan Ortegas, or are you a lieutenant?
No, I'm a lieutenant.
Lieutenant Ortegas, you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for your service, and thank you all of you out there, active duty and reservists. I'll be right back. I'm going to talk with Sarah Woodward, Sarah Bedford now. She got married. The negotiations between the White House and the GOP, according to the New York Times, are closing in on a deal to raise the debt limit and cut spending. Sarah will know the latest. We'll find out. For all of you book lovers out there, I've got exciting news. A gripping new novel from Berkeley Books just hit the shelves. Dead Drop by MP Woodward. If you ever wondered how Mossad, the CIA, a politically divided U.S. administration would react to Iran getting a nuke, then Dead Drop is a must-read. With true-to-life tradecraft from a former intel officer, Dead Drop pits spy against spy. Get Dead Drop now wherever you buy books and listen to my interview with MP Woodward on my podcast. Thanks. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Sarah Bedford with the Washington Examiner covers Congress. And boy, is she going to be busy on this Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend. White House and GOP close in on deal to debt limit raise, according to the New York Times. Sarah Bedford, what hear you about these negotiations?
you know, both sides are not happy with where the negotiations are right now. The conservatives think that McCarthy has accepted way too little in terms of where they started with that debt ceiling bill that they passed in April that had deeper spending cuts. And Democrats think that the White House has budged too much, that the White House agreed to limit spending in some areas. The White House agreed to claw back some of that money that Congress had appropriated for the IRS and still may give some ground on the idea of work requirements for welfare. So you also have Democrats sending a message to the White House that you can't just expect we're going to go along with what you and McCarthy agree upon. So really, this is a deal that's making no one excited right now.
So the Republican proposal is to chop back on the Inflation Reduction Act, which actually didn't reduce inflation and spent billions of dollars on the IRS. They're clawing back the IRS money?
Well, they're clawing back $10 billion of the $8 billion that the IRS got. Republicans initially started saying they wanted all $80 billion to be clawed back. So this is just sort of a fraction. And the deal as it stands right now, and that could still change, the details are fluid, but right now, that $10 billion wouldn't be pure savings. The Democrats would be able to spend that on other programs, discretionary programs that are going to face spending caps to sort of offset some of the cuts that Republicans are securing. So it is a pretty minor concession from the White House, but from McCarthy's perspective, it's better than nothing.
That was a campaign promise to do that. So that would be a big win for the speaker. What about defense spending? Because every Republican says we cannot roll back defense spending to 2022 levels. It has to go up. Does it go up in the deal? Is it sketched out?
It does. Right now, the spending caps would apply to all non-defense discretionary spending, and it would exclude veterans-related programs. Those are also not going to be cut under the deal. Or cut is maybe not the right word. They're not going to be allowed to grow at the rate that Democrats want to see them grow. They're all going to be funded at higher levels than right now. The White House is sort of holding the Republicans closer to a cap at fiscal year 2023 levels instead of the fiscal year 2022 levels that Republicans wanted. So it's pretty modest spending cuts all around. And that's why you see the House Freedom Caucus and then, you know, Senator Mike Lee over in the Senate starting to make noise about voting against this sort of arrangement, because it's, at the end of the day, a pretty modest amount of savings.
Well, Sarah C. Bedford on Twitter, are you covering this all weekend long? Because I know the House is in recess. I guess they got to post whatever the deal is for 3 days under the new House rules. What do you do all weekend?
Well, hopefully we'll get something of a break. You know, McCarthy has said, and this is bad optics for the White House, but McCarthy has said he's going to stay in Washington until a deal is fully agreed upon. And right now, Joe Biden is scheduled to go out of town for the weekend, for the Memorial Day weekend. That's a split screen that doesn't look really good. So I'll be curious to see if a deal isn't finalized by tonight, if Biden goes forward with this sort of weekend away plans, or if he stays in Washington to finish this up. I don't know that the full House needs to stay in town to get this done. I mean, McCarthy had sort of deputized Congressman Graves to hammer this out for him.
And part of Sarah. I know Patrick McHenry, and the chairman of House Financial Services is one of the two lead negotiators for the Republicans, and he's really smart. I have no idea who this Louisiana guy is. Tell us about him. I've never talked to him. I didn't know he was in the Congress.
He's a trusted ally of McCarthy's, and he has a sort of reputation for being able to bring people together to sort of calm tensions. But part of the process of getting to where we are in the debt ceiling talks was sort of getting a lot of the cooks out of the kitchen. There were too many people at the table. So that's why McCarthy said, we're just going to have these two guys and the White House, you know, send a couple of your guys, and we will talk this out just among these men and line up behind whatever they float, because it was too many people having too many inputs at the start of this process and nothing was moving forward.
Well, I know Chairman McHenry was a whip for a long time, so he knows everybody in the House caucus very well. But I don't know that. What's the other congressman's name? Is it Graves?
I believe it's Tom Graves, yes.
And so which committee is he on, and where did he show up? I mean, I actually should know this, but I don't.
You know, he's just as known as being close to McCarthy, you know, it's sort of on a personal level as well as a professional one. So I think it's, you know, more than him having a position of power in Congress, I think it had more to do with McCarthy's level of trust in him and him sort of having the temperament to lead this type of sensitive negotiation where tempers could run high.
Well, if he's an LSU fan, he doesn't know anything about football, but maybe knows something about the budget. I'm very pleased. I hope you have a great weekend, Sarah Bedford. And people should follow her on Twitter at Sarah C. Bedford. Her name changed, so you got to go find her. And I'll be reading you every day to find out if the deal is imminent and close. You can trust Sarah. I'm coming back with Dr. Larry Arnn. The Hillsdale Dialogue is coming up. Don't go anywhere, America. We're actually going to depart from our traditional history, our Churchill weeks, to do some updating on current events. So Dr. Arnn is next. The Hillsdale Dialogue is next. Make sure you go over to HughHewitt.com. Hit that Angel Tree banner at the top. Sign up for my newsletter as well. And come right back. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, live from Studio North. Tarzana Joe's awake on the West Coast. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Barely awake, and I'm on the West Coast. Thank you very much.
Before we go to the poem, Joe, I need to task you, all right? You know how you would come up with words for me for, like, the French fries you find in the bottom of the bag and that? I need a word for when the new restaurant provides you with the option to tip 18%, 20%, or 25%. The 15% tip is dead. So what is the word when your options are limited on the electronic device to 18, 20, and 25? Now, that's not an immediate quiz. That's just something to ponder.
Gastroinflation.
All right, the poem.
That's hopefully a special poem for a special week. In a week where it's apparent that there's so much light at stake in your liberties and lives and in decisions you can make, in your right to speak out freely on positions you can hold, in your doing what you ought to and not merely what you're told, in your freedom to accomplish obligations you took on, the news that you can read and the stoves that you can cook on, in the fundamental values that enlighten and unite us, the soul that makes our enemies respect and fear to fight us. But no matter what your view of where we are or where we're headed, there are people in our past to whom we're heavily indebted. For the glories that we cherish and the failures we condemn, we wouldn't even be here if it hadn't been for them. For their willingness to battle far away on foreign shores, for the futures that they gave up for the sake of saving yours. For the mothers and the fathers as they mourn the dear departed, for the families they lost, and for those they never started. May we for a day, and it may be the way to save us, put aside disputes and thank them for the light they gave us. That's Memorial Day 2023 by Tarzana Joe.
That is grand, Joe. And I began the show by saying Memorial Day is the one weekend I love, but I also don't like that people forget what it's about. And I'm glad that your poem remembers what it's about. It's a salute to all the Gold Star families out there, past, present, and indeed future, and to everyone serving. On Monday, I'll have my annual Semper Fi show, which I think you agree is always a very moving show, and that's a wonderful poem. Is that going to be over at TarzanaJoe.com?
Absolutely.
Is it already there? Or did you get up early enough to already post it?
It will be momentarily.
All right. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com for all of your poetry needs. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. And he invents words.
Gastroinflation. But I'll work on another one.
That's not really very good, but I wasn't going to, you know, throw off your mojo that way. Sorry, Joe. That's like when they call you, bring your playbook. Coach wants to see you. Bring your playbook, Joe. How is your weekend looking for in terms of weather out on the West Coast? Is it raining still?
It's June gloom, and it's been June gloom through May, but that's pleasant. That's pleasant. Good for the garden.
I'm just wondering if it's raining still. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com for all your poetry needs. Thank you, Joe.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.